whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Yo, you know what's crazy? That viral video of the Vikings from 2 weeks ago when Sam Darnold comes into the locker room, I didn't realize, but I guess their team song is this song, Many Men. They started singing Many Men after they let him down. I was like, I didn't know Minnesota was like that. Cam to AM on the Fan, you heard? This last hour is going to fly by. Dial 888-808-1019. We're talking sports. What else? AG in Newburgh, New York. You're on the Fan.
My guy, how you living?
I'm good, man. Hanging out, watching the Celtics, Nuggets game, taking calls, trying to entertain some folks.
Always a pleasure, Keith. So I had to reach out to you. You know, last we spoke, it was the whole Soto drama, but I'm not even going to touch on that. I want to talk a little bit of Giants football here, and I got to vent. And my reason for venting is because I just don't think people understand the true depths of what this franchise has become. And it's sad because, you know, I know you're a Cowboy fan, but to watch the Giants, you know, wither down to what they become is just a shame. And I really want to pinpoint my blame on ownership. So first things first, since you look at, you know, we can look at larger standards, but over the last 10 years, the Giants have a record of 57-106-1. Just take that in for a second. 57-106-1.
That's one of the worst in all 32 teams in the NFL. That's got to be like bottom three.
It's got to be there, right? So you start with that, right? Then on top of it, you think about the way they handled Eli on the way out, the way they handled Tom Coughlin on the way out. Mm-hmm. You think about the product that they've put on the field as of recent. And I don't want to hear, oh, you won a road playoff game. You got people out there. Some of these fans are so beyond delusional with their claim. Oh, well, Daniel Jones, he won a – Daniel Jones, let me just explain to you how poor and pathetic of an effort that guy put forward. I don't want to hear, oh, he was
a
nice guy
with
the media.
He was a hard worker.
I don't want to hear that. We all work hard. I work hard. You work hard, Keith, right? Doesn't mean that matters.
About okay? Results.
24-45-1, his record. Yet they run that guy out consistently. Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you right now because my theory was that John Mara, okay, who I think is to blame for this whole debacle because that guy has never done anything. His father is the one that is credited for where the Giants are and what they are as far as historical. Because he had nothing to do with the Super Bowls that he raised, okay? Ernie, of course, he built that team, okay? And Jerry Reese did. John Mara had nothing to do with it, okay? He can sit there and say everything he wants about, oh, the Giants failed Daniel Jones. If he had any clue of what talent was, he would have told these guys to move on from Daniel Jones. I'm telling you right now, and my theory played out. If he was not the one responsible for them to give Daniel Jones that contract after he won that playoff game in Minnesota, then these guys would have been gone. There's no way he would have retained Joe and Shane and Dable. I mean, so now when you really look at it, this guy, the egg on that guy's face, forget about flying the planes, forget about all this stuff. I'm a diehard Yankee fan, but I watched what the Mets fans did to run the Wilpons out. And yes, it was a little bit of a different situation. This guy, John Mara, and I know WFAN is the flagship station for the Giants. I'm here to say, John, call your buddy from across town, James Dolan, and learn to take your hands off that franchise. Stop appointing your family members into positions that they have no idea what they're doing. Okay, because we can go on.
Isn't that.
Isn't that
what he
too.
Just did with Shane and Dable, right? That was the last turn, right? Getting rid of Gettleman and hiring Shane and Dable and now sticking with them is him saying, These guys got it. I got to trust these guys I hired.
Yeah, but you know what, though? At the end of the day, I actually do believe that these two can get this thing right, but John Mara needs to take his hands off the wheel. He was responsible for that Daniel Jones contract. He was responsible for the reason they set back as far as they have. Call James Dolan, see what happened when he finally took his hands off the wheel. And like you said, you made a great point before, not to switch topics here, about some of the Knicks fans on how they've become so delusional. I'm a diehard Knicks fan myself. I get it. You run through a couple bad games, but think about what the Giants become. That's what the Knicks were for years. We would die. We would die as Giants fans to be able to even line up to be a sixth seed going into the wild card round this week. John Mara, if you're listening or if this gets broadcasted, take your hands off the wheel. Let the professionals do their job and stay away. Nobody cares about your meaningless pressers after the year where you sound like a tough guy, okay? Nobody cares. We want results. We want to win. Take your hands off the wheel.
Thanks for the call, AG. I don't think his hands are on the wheel. I think Hard Knocks showed you that. I think he's stuck in the back seat, which is crazy because it's his vehicle. It's his car. Imagine being in an expensive car that you paid for, that you have the title that's yours, and you're just a passenger. You're along for the ride. Joe Shane is driving the car. Brian Dable's in the passenger seat up front. You're in the back telling him, hey, I think we missed an exit. Exit 26, Saquon Barkley, I think we missed an exit right there. Josh is in the Bronx. Josh, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, before I get to the NFL point, you know, what is this? Alex Verdugo, another ex-Yankee headed to the Mets? And also, you said something about Saleh connecting with the
Jaguars. Yeah.
Oh, man. And all right, and my last point before I let you go and take another call is, the Giants' schedule with Dable and Shane, man, like, and the NFC East, man, like I was telling Paulie, they got to play the AFC West and the NFC North, man.
It's not going to get easier.
It's not going to get any easier, man. I hope the Giants can get a good draft, man. You know the rest, and you know what to do. Thank you for taking my call, sir.
Thanks for the call, Josh. Yeah, I see Josh on Twitter responding to Alex Verdugo thing I just said on brand. I don't really think that the Mets are going to sign Verdugo. I mean, you might as well bring back Jesse Winker. He already had some magic for you. But I said on brand because, hey, if they could play for the Mets, of course. Or if they could play for the Yankees, of course we'll give them a chance to play for the Mets. They're already proven in New York. And I don't know how much Verdugo proved last year. But, yeah, the Rob Saleh thing, I just was laughing at that. Like, Shad Khan, if he thinks there's one team worse than his in the National Football League, is the Jets. The comment he made about how Trevor Lawrence will not have a say in finding the next head coach. This is an Aaron Rodgers 2.0. I'm like, why'd you got to take a shot at the Jets? Throw Aaron Rodgers under the bus. I did think it was funny that he said, like, the next head coach, if the next head coach has certain feelings towards Baalke, his GM, that he would fire him. He said it with him on the Zoom call. Very matter-of-factly, like, yo, you barely survived this with Doug Peterson, getting chopped. And, yeah, I just think it's hilarious that the Jaguars would ask to interview Rob Saleh. You had a guy in there, in Doug Peterson, that was walking in there with a Super Bowl ring. You're going to interview Rob Saleh, who has one of the worst head coaching records over the last three seasons? Like, what? I think it was just it's another sign that Jaguars think that the Jets are beneath them. And they're like, oh, you fired this guy? Well, we'll bring him in for an interview. That's a waste of time. 888-808-1019. And yeah, that schedule for the Giants next year is rough. So as much as we want to talk about John Mara, as much as we want to talk about Joe Shane, Brian Dable, there is work to be done. Or we'll be right back here next year doing the same thing. This team sucks. They don't have it. They're defeated. Who are they going to draft? And, like, that's no way to go through a football season, you know. And multiple people have referenced me being a Cowboys fan. It's a different type of pain, right? At least you have Super Bowls. But you know, the vantage point of being a Cowboys fan looking at the Giants did make the Dallas Cowboys have to kiss the ring. The Giants did knock off a double-digit win Dallas Cowboys team on the road to a Super Bowl. Eli did come to Jerry World and get some wins. And now it's just like, you know, looking at the Giants franchises and what they've become, it's like, where's the pride? Where is the pedigree? These are supposed to be the New York football Giants, and they've been a doormat for a long time. Something is wrong, and it starts at the top, 888-808-1019. The wrong decisions being made about who to hire, who to draft, just fumbling situations over and over again, from Eli Manning's consecutive starting streak to Tom Coughlin resigning to the revolving door of coaches, drafting Daniel Jones. And I know they wanted Daniel Jones to be Eli 2.0. He was not. And the latest one is Saquon. And you guys can tell yourselves whatever you got to sleep, whatever you got to tell yourself to sleep at night. John Mara does it every day. You can tell yourself, oh, Saquon wouldn't have been this with this Giants team. He was yours. He was your guy that you drafted number two overall that wanted to finish his career here. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what his, if he wouldn't have rushed for 2,000 yards. He wanted to be here. He was a good citizen, a good man, a good person off the field, a good example in the locker room, a guy who went to work, a guy who fought through injuries and led the way for guys coming in. He survived different regimes, and you let these guys come in with their principles of how they value running backs, and they wouldn't break that mold for him. You let these guys come in with their theory on, oh, we're not paying a running back that much. Well, maybe you should have. Maybe you shouldn't have put so much money in Daniel Jones just because he was the quarterback. The quarterback's best friend is a good running back. And that season that they won those games and went to the playoffs and won that one playoff game, Saquon Barkley was the reason on offense, more so than Daniel Jones. But here we are, Daniel Jones not on the team. Daniel Jones on the 53-man roster for the Minnesota Vikings. It's the Minnesota Vikings are, you know, making their moves so that they can get that comp pick. You know, little things like that came across the timeline today. I might be wording that wrong. I think that they had to put Daniel Jones on the 53-man roster so that they didn't lose a pick if they end up losing him in free agency. But either way, Daniel Jones with Kevin O'Connell. All this talk about, yeah, Daniel Jones signed to the Vikings 53-man roster. This puts Minnesota in line to receive a compensatory pick if Jones walks away in free agency. But who knows? All this talk about Sam Darnold and where he's going to go. All this talk about trading J.J. McCarthy. We forget they got Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones might be comfortable there. He won a playoff game there. Maybe him and Kevin O'Connell are working on something. Hey, go ahead. I don't need a big contract. Daniel Jones is going to be one of the highest paid quarterbacks when it's all said and done. He's got, if he plays another 7-8 years in the NFL, he's already got over $100 million. He's going to get the bag. The money only is going up for these backup quarterbacks and starting quarterbacks. 888-808-1019. Here's Robbie in Lenox. He's figured it out. He's back on the Fan.
Thanks, Keith. I apologize. 37 years, you know, I've like fallen asleep on Tony's show. I think I've tried a couple of times, but I was actually up. I'm telling you, I don't know what's more disappointing or makes me more angry. The Rangers blowing a 3-goal lead and a 4-3 lead in the last few minutes are paying $12 for two milkshakes at McDonald's. I remember when a milkshake was like 65 cents when I was a kid. I'll be 60. I mean, it's ridiculous. I remember going through in a Cub Scouts. We thought it was the greatest thing. He's going through the backup. McDonald's, wow! And then we realized, that's chocolate sauce and chocolate syrup and ice cream. Big deal, you know? It's like the secret sauce. But anyway, the Rangers are a disaster. I know you're a Devils fan. But the Rangers are a disaster. 3-0 lead tonight. I promised myself I wouldn't watch it, that I would record it, right? So I watched the first period, and they're winning 3-0. Soon as they give up a goal, like 2 minutes after they make it 3-0, it's now 3-2 on a power play. Like, I mean, Schneider basically is out of position, rips the guy down. Keith, in 52 years of being a Ranger fan, watching this team since 1974, okay? I have never seen such garbage defense in my life by a 5-man unit. You ever see, like, you know, obviously your guy's driving the highway. You ever see, like, those, like, you know, pins or whatever, those cones that are sitting there. They're just, that's what it's like watching 10 NHL teams run around the Rangers. It's like when we used to go to Grateful Dead concerts, and the cones would be on the highway. That's what it looks like. I mean, it's like ridiculous to watch. I mean, Peter Laviolette, I'm sorry, I'm tired of hearing, well, you know, he's a Hall of Fame coach, and, you know, it's really the player's fault. This coach sucks, okay? He hasn't figured it out, okay? Why does this team stick check? Why do other NHL teams actually hit people? Why does Jimmy Vesey wave his stick like he's waving pom-poms for Fillmore Junior High and Marcia Brady, okay? Instead of, like, actually hitting somebody in the middle of the damn ice. Why is this team so soft? Why is there no leadership on this team? Why do you have the same place? I know Kreider's hurt. I know, and again, Hedl got hurt. But, I mean, it's a disaster. You can't tell me that the Rangers have more less talent than Columbus or the Islanders or any of these other teams in the East that stink, or even Ottawa. I mean, I'm fed up, Keith. I don't know what the answer is. You can't fire 20 guys at this point. It's embarrassing. And they blow a 4-3 lead. You please tell me, okay? Please explain to me this. Why is, and I ask this, and Paulie, please chime in if you want, because I know Paulie's a big Rangers fan. Why is Keandre Miller, who has sucked all year, okay? Why is he on the ice with 2 minutes and 30 seconds left when they have a 4-3 lead? Please explain that. And by the way, as far as the Giants are concerned, sorry, I'm going on a rant. I can't take anymore. Keith, you're lucky. You're a Devils fan. We have one championship in 84 years. One championship.
Well, hey, at least you got Matt Rempe coming back for the Devils-Rangers game.
I mean, it was always the high-flying Rangers. You can go back to the 1920s, to Bill and Bun Cook and Frank Boucher, to Leaping Louis Fastinato. I mean, that's my buddy Rob from Lake Success. We're about the same age. We've been Ranger fans since we've like been in the infancy. And he'll tell you, it's always, except for the 94 team, the 78 team, and maybe the team like in 13, this team has always been soft. I don't know what it is, but I mean, the last
time. No, it's bad, man. Kreider's on IR, and it's just over. There's no energy.
It's done.
There's no hope. They are dead. They are dead in the water. It's just like,
and I'm going to ask you as a Devils fan. Okay, so you're Tommy Fitzgerald. You're at the trade line. What do you want to add to put this team over the top?
People are talking about a center. People are talking about bulking up the defense. Got another defenseman. I don't know. I look at the Devils and I'm just like, man, they have a lot of good players, and they obviously just had a little bit of a losing streak here. They're going to make the right move and bolster his team, because this is looking like a team that can get there. I don't want to touch the money.
I agree.
But I'm like, this could be like, I mean, the Rangers aren't in the way.
Nope.
We'll see who's actually standing in the way in the East. But man, Markstrom in the goal, and then guys like Jesper Bratt, Jack Hughes that have been playing, Dougie Hamilton being back this year, Nico Hischier, Dawson Mercer. Like, you just keep going on a list.
They're all drafted. That's why TJ's done a great job. Tommy Fitzgerald did a great job of it.
Yeah, they just have a ton of dudes, and they have actual dudes. And you could tell Timo Meier, who they traded for 2 years ago, you could tell that they're pissed off and that they have a chip on their shoulder. You could tell watching the Rangers play against them. Like, they're out for blood, and they're sending a message. And then when you add guys like Stefan Nason and Jonathan Kovacevic, and who else was I talking about the other day? I'm like,
even the veterans, the guys that got Brett from Tampa Bay, the veterans. Yeah, I love Brett Pesci. He's from Westchester. He grew up in the same area I did. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, but no relation to fucking Joe Pesci, but, you know, it's a tough guy. It's not a guy, you know what I mean? Anyway, I got a chance, hopefully, to do some animation voice work in the city, so I'm psyched. I got to do my reel. I wanted to be the new voice of Bugs Bunny, Doc, but, you know, they gave it away a long time ago. These guys, these guys cannot do voices. I mean, I do have at least 100 voices. I've been working on my Kevin Harlan lately, because I do it for Boyle all the time, for Patty Boyle. Patty and I talk all the time. And I always go, it's a sexy move for the Kansas City Chiefs. One right here.
Robbie, can you do a Sam Rosen? How terrible is it that Sam Rosen, this is his last year?
You know, I can't do Sam, but I've met Sam a number of times because my friends worked for the Rangers when I was a kid. You won't find a nicer guy in the world of hockey. I'm ticked this year. And when you see Micheletti putting down the Rangers, you know the Rangers really stink. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I want to tell all Yankee fans, because I've been going to Yankee games since I'm a little kid, okay? Grew up right 25 minutes from the Bronx. The curse of Juan Soto is going to happen, folks. He snubbed the greatest franchise in the history of sports to go and wear an orange and blue uniform like Howard Johnson, okay? Instead of wearing the pinstripes, man. Steve Summers would say, how in the world do you turn down? You turn down Uncle Stevie's money from the Metropolitan. Exactly how to look.
Thanks for the call, Robbie.
What is going on?
I'm not asking for this type of energy from the Yankee fans.
It's not energy. It's jealousy. Let it go already. And Yankees fans think the Mets fans are obsessed.
I haven't seen a Howard Johnson in a decade and a half.
And is there a bad thing about an orange uniform? Why is everyone bringing that up?
You won't ever see me wear blue and orange. It's just not for me aesthetically.
How many Yankee fans are Knicks fans that also wear blue and orange?
I guess some. Not me. You won't catch me in the blue and orange. I can't get jiggy with that. You know, Loopy on the late night. Rob fell asleep, woke up. He came back with a great call. He hit on a few things. Right? He hit us with the Bugs Bunny impression. Pesci. He hates the Rangers right now. But I know a lot of you hate this version of the Rangers right now.
Oh, I understand the hatred. I mean, you jump out to a 3-0 lead. And again, what I told him is the Stars have a really, really good team. The Stars are going to be a contender.
Oh, yeah. I think they're on a little winning streak. I was reading about it before the game.
But when you jump out to a 3-0 lead, Lafreniere's 2 goals in the first 10 minutes, you're not expecting to lose 5-4, right? And you're not expecting to blow a 3-0 lead, then, you know, a 4-3 lead. So, but again,
that's their fifth win in a row.
This is not surprising.
They refuse to lose the will to win.
Right, this is not surprising if you've been paying attention to the Rangers. It is not surprising. There was even a report today that Vancouver might have turned down a JT Miller for Mika Zibanejad trade straight up. So
they're about to jump Matt Rempe, though.
Again, Matt Rempe holds zero value. And I'm a Ranger fan. He holds zero value. Until he realizes exactly how to play hockey the correct way, he has zero value. I can't trust him.
You don't have too many options and too many guys left. You got no choice but to call him up and hope that he does something. Even for just the fans that love him, just to energize that crowd against the Devils. The Devils have beat the Rangers 5-0, 5-1. And like the Devils, like I just said, had a little bit of a losing streak to start this year. They're out for blood.
We gotta go to break here, Keith. What are we doing?
All right. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
Got any ideas that will work to help your favorite teams? Let them know about it by calling 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.
You're the only one that plays this on WFAN. I thought this was going to be the Bleep the Mets one. Yeah, they're really socking the ball. Bring your kitties. Let's go, Mets. Yeah.
Meet the M-E-T-S Mets of New York.
Nah, cue up that. Cue up that Here Come the Yankees. That's what we need, bro. That's what we need. You know, it's just two polar opposites in the same exact space. Just Yankee fans do this. Mets fans do that. It just is what it is, yo. Eli's in Washingtonville on the Fan.
Going on, listen, man. This is what makes like Mets fans annoying. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Yankee fans are not jealous. We got jealous when we lost Robinson Cano to the Seattle Mariners. No, we didn't get jealous. You know what I'm saying? We let it go. You know, we moved on. And you know, the Mets. And you talking about Verdugo now going to the Mets? Let me ask you a question. Who gets hand me downs?
Yeah, I mean. It's just
little brother. It's just little brothers get hand-me-downs.
It's just the system,
and now
man.
And then they get excited. Now they got the pair of MJs that we just wore once, and now they get excited because it's now they're big
brothers. It is a little bro-ish.
Yeah, but listen, and they act like they're the first team with award a wealthy owner. What happened to Art Moreno? He had Ohtani and Mike Trout in the same team.
Money can't buy you love.
Celebrate?
Yeah, it doesn't always work that way.
Celebrate?
Doesn't always work
that way. They didn't go down their main streets celebrating the contract. You know what makes you a legendary team or big brother? Winning. That's what makes you a big brother.
Well, yeah, and the Angels share a city with the Dodgers. Thanks for the call, Eli. And they'll always be second-class citizens to the Dodgers. I understood Mets fans celebrating Juan Soto. Like I said, it was a seismic shift. That night, I knew it was wraps. As soon as that report got floated out that the contract was upwards to $800 million, I'm like, the Yankees ain't printing out no $800 million contract. That's why I was so surprised to even see $760. And I will pat Hal Steinbrenner on the back. Hal, when I see you at spring training, I'm going to be like, yo, bro, understood. Don't even trip. And they renovated the spring training facility, the new home of the Tampa Bay Rays. I'm ready for baseball. I already know. I'm going down the last week of March, just trying to lock in the flights. Flights are OD. Price-wise, got the Google alert set up, but I'm ready. I'm just going through the motions for real with this football talk. With this NBA season, I mean, I hope that the Devils can get it done. But, like, you know, 2025, it is a huge baseball season. For anybody involved with the Mets, the Yankees, baseball, you know, it's a big year. There's going to be a ton of focus, ton of attention on baseball. And I can't wait for it. I'm counting down the days. 888-808-1019, Jamie in Yonkers, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, good evening. I wanted to just push back a little bit, if I understood you correctly, your comment about the Los Angeles media and Japanese players and Roki Sasaki, if in fact he's this real quiet guy. I don't think there's any team in professional sports in my lifetime that's done a better job of shielding its players from the media as the Dodgers have with Ohtani. The whole gambling situation, he was never forced to answer any questions, was never up at the microphone, never available to the media. So I'm not entirely sure your take is all that correct. Maybe if I'm a shy Japanese player, maybe that's precisely where I want to go.
Well played, Jamie. Well played.
You know, I mean, listen, like Garrett, I mean, he was practically doing the pro athlete equivalent of pleading the fifth, but like Garrett Cole was out there answering questions about sticky stuff. Can you imagine if Ohtani was implicated in the sticky stuff? In New York, they make him answer questions. Out there, no, I'm sorry, he's not available.
Yeah, now that I'm going back to that, like, everybody was in on that. Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, they didn't do a good job with that. They had two different stories floating out there. At first, it was like he was helping a friend, and then it was, oh, he didn't know anything about it, and the friend was stealing money from him.
Right, so as far as I'm concerned, he's either a crook or a moron.
He was definitely involved in it. It's just like, thanks for the call, Jamie. I've talked about this a ton. I think I was probably one of the most vocal hosts about it because I could get that off at night. I remember the reports coming out about money going through casinos and, you know, Ohtani not having any. Please, as secretive as Ohtani is, where we didn't hear anything about his wife, we didn't hear anything about his free agency, why'd you name your dog Decoy? Why do you need a decoy? What are you hiding, Shohei? Man, it just would have been an L for everybody. Nobody wins if Ohtani loses, you know? He's a unicorn. He's a two-way player for the Dodgers. They wanted the Dodgers to win the World Series. They did win the World Series. But as far as Roki Sasaki and his personality, I don't know if you could turn down the Japanese media as far as the questioning and them doing stories on him. Of course, when it's something negative, I wouldn't expect Sasaki to have something negative. But when it's something negative, like the scandal that opened up the season, and you know what, too? That pissed me off last year because I got up to watch the Seoul series. I got up to watch the Dodgers versus Padres games at 6 in the morning. And they had Shohei and Ipe in the dugout together yucking it up. We saw it with our own eyes. It didn't look like this was a guy that come on, bro. They pulled the wool over, but they didn't pull the wool over. We understand it. Oh, the FBI investigations and whatever. I mean, if it's the thing about Sasaki is if he really is afraid of talking to the media, there wouldn't be as big of Japanese media here in New York, but it's media market, media capital, market one. I don't know. I think he probably signs with the Padres, even though they have some turmoil going on with the ownership. It's just way smaller out there. There's not as many reporters and publications out there. And as far as the Dodgers go, yeah, they were able to shield Ohtani, but That was from negativity. That's from stuff that would have hurt a lot of people's pockets, would have hurt the Dodgers, would have hurt Major League Baseball. With Sasaki, like, they're just going to want to write stories on his experience and him teaming up. Like, they'll write a story a day. Who was it that was telling me that? I took a call, I think last night, where someone said that every day they write a story on Ohtani. There's a paper that writes a story every day on Ohtani and puts it on the cover because it sells newspapers. And I was like, well, yeah, that's a great way in this digital age to sell newspapers over there. One, Ohtani fans are going to want anything with his face on it as like a collector's item. Two, it catches people's attention. Oh, what's the story now? I think I joked. I was like, Ohtani brushed his teeth for the fourth time today. A new story, you know, hot off the presses. Get it now. 888-808-1019. Tamer is down in Florida on the Fan in New York.
What's going on, Keith? Hey, Keith, listen, man. This little pencil neck corporate clown, Joe Shane, okay? I can't believe he's coming back. This guy, I had to look him up to make sure he understood football. I said, somebody who lets Xavier McKinney and Julian Love leave, two leaders, on the defensive side of the ball, lets him leave, and then shows Saquon Barkley the door. I said, let me see if he actually played football. It turns out he played at some tiny school, I don't know, Division III somewhere. So apparently he played football. But the decisions this guy makes, bro, he doesn't have a feel for the room. Our hard knocks. You know, the way he was talking about Saquon, oh, with the smirk on his face, oh, you should have signed that contract I gave him last year. Like, that's not how you deal with people, man. Like, he's not in touch with today's athletes.
Yeah, I think he got too drunk on the power. I think he's still drunk on the power. I think he's extra comfortable, too comfortable. In Hard Knocks, he talked about doing this for 10 years. To think that you've done enough to even project to be the Giants GM for 10 years in year four, well, three going, like, that's insane. This is New York. You don't get that long of a leash without results. These guys are riding off of one playoff win with a team they mostly inherited, and now they're riding off of a player of, or coach of the year trophy and a quote-unquote great draft class for a 3-14 team.
Yeah, a great draft class, which I think, I mean, look, Andrew Phillips looks good in the slot corner. I mean, Tyrone Tracy, I mean, he looks all right, but he doesn't look like Bucky Irving. I mean,
he falls the ball too much. Yeah, he's got to hold on to the ball.
My dog could have picked Malik Nabers, man. And here's one question I got for you. Why did we give Dave Gettleman so much crap for taking Saquon, who was just, you know, he's who you designed in a Madden game, like as a running back. So it's like, you know, all right, I guess that's why he took
Saquon. It was these theories and principles again in this attempt over the last decade to devalue the running back. It was, you don't take a running back at number two. Are you crazy? You don't take a running back because you could find a Bucky Irving in the fourth round.
Yeah, but now you see Baltimore paid Derrick Henry. Philly paid Saquon. Josh Jacobs in Green Bay. And it's like,
Joe Mixon in Houston. Even the Commanders brought in Austin Eckler. They're a playoff team. You mentioned Josh Jacobs, playoff team. Like, you need a running back, man.
Yeah, but now here's my question to you. We gave Gettleman so much crap. Yeah, we gave him so much crap for taking Saquon. Why aren't we giving Shane crap for taking Malik Nabers? Well, I get it. He's an obvious stud, right?
Especially when there were quarterbacks to be had and you don't have a quarterback all these years. You passed on Bo Nix. You passed on Michael Penix. You passed on J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, man, I just, you know, Keith, you should look into therapy, too. I already feel better about my night now that I got this off my chest, man. You're good at this. Thank you very much.
Bro. Thanks for the call, Tamer. I said a lot of this is therapy. I even opened up tonight. I'm like, I can't do the Jets and Giants conversation. Like, can we have some fun? Can we start to dream? Like, so much of this is like me being a therapist, taking calls, letting people vent and, like, talking through everything and just coming around to what's done is done. They won three games, one at home, zero in the division. The GM survived it. The coach survived it. History was made. I had it in my notes yesterday. I was like Brian Daboll, I hadn't seen him smile in a press conference all year. He cracked a smile because he knew that little rascal got off. I'm trying to find it. Jordan Renan talked about, like, he's like one of three coaches to ever survive that terrible record. And why? Jordan Renan said, just how rare is the opportunity for Brian Daboll to get a fourth year after winning just three games in year three? It's only happened twice since 1980. He's the third guy. Brian Daboll was smiling on Black Monday because he's still here. Bang up job, Brian. Coach of the year. Just living off that shiny Coach of the Year trophy. Bang up job, Joe Shane. So confident in yourself. Like the audacity, Joe Shane. I wouldn't have changed anything. Admit fault. Admit your mistakes. You've made a ton of them. You can't admit any of them, huh? You're perfect. You got it under control. Yep. All in a plan. Joe Shane said he never wavered about keeping his job. Are you kidding me? Three wins? You never wavered about potentially being chopped in New York City where fans were voting online to fire you, where fans were calling the fans saying get rid of them both, flying planes over the stadium saying fire everybody, fix this mess. You never wavered about your job? That's why I say they're holding Mara hostage, man. They're driving John Mara's fancy car and they're crashing it all down the highway for years. It's getting nicked up, banged up. It's losing value. And Mara's just in the back seat like, I don't like this. I better be in a better mood when we get to the rest stop. Ari's in Bergenfield. Ari, you're on the fan.
Hey, Keith, what's up? I'm going to try to keep it a little more positive.
Okay.
The Mets here. Which the I had my Giants. Therapy.
I think you're breaking up a little bit. Go on, Ari.
Okay, so the Mets. Alonso. Obviously, money is not a concern for Steve Cohen. So, why? What's the holdup with just completing this final piece?
Yeah, it's funny, right? And I think that's something that Pete Alonso and Scott Boras got to be thinking. Hey, your money bags. You're made out of money. Where's our money? Pete didn't earn it. Pete doesn't deserve it. But I think now, since you spent all that money on Soto and you made a couple other moves, you just have a principle. They offered Pete a contract in the season that he turned down. And now they're probably only willing to go so far. And it's take it or leave it. Three years, $90 million. That's what we got for you at this juncture. Things have changed. Yesterday's price is not today's price.
Let's say he doesn't sign. Like, I've heard, I'm in like an NL fantasy. You guys are like crazy, but there's speculation about like Vlad Guerrero or Arenado and then moving Vientos to first. But that or like Peter or I don't know what happened.
Thanks for the call, Ari. And you were a little choppy there. They'll survive without Pete Alonso. I think that they'd be better off with him. I'm sure they can move Vientos. I'm sure they could sign a cheaper person or elevate a young guy or move someone. You know, they got ways around it. You move Vientos, have Mauricio come up. Like I just think that's foolish. There's only one place for this guy to go. When you look at all the teams that needed first baseman and all the first basemen that signed, where they signed Christian Walker to the Astros, right? Carlos Santana to the Guardians, Paul Goldschmidt to the Yankees, Josh Naylor going to Arizona. I think Josh Bell signed with the Nationals. There's only one pairing. There's only one match to be made here. It's the Mets and Pete Alonso to get a deal done, and I think they will. Now, is Pete going to be a little bit disappointed? I think so. But, like, it is what it is. Josh is in Passaic. Josh is on the fan.
Hey, Keith. What's doing, man? How you feeling?
I'm good. Got to go to break in the next minute, so sorry to cut you short here. Paulie's looking at me throwing up the tea.
Yeah, I'll be quick. First of all, so with just a quick thing on the Giants, Barkley pick, I don't think it's a bad pick. Because if you look at him right now in Philly,
it's not
you
a bad pick. He's one of the best players in the league. Also. Like, it was never a bad pick.
Same with Jahmyr Gibbs is worth a top 15 pick off to the Lions. He's like, scoring four touchdowns Sunday night. Fast. You know, they don't even need to rush David Montgomery back. And, you know.
But he will be available for the divisional round.
Right. That's what they're saying right now. And then on with the Mets. You know, the reason there's no deal is because Pete Alonso has been, Scott Boras has made Pete Alonso delusional with who he is. and, you know, that the report going out that they're looking for a Prince Fielder type deal. You wish. I mean, the only place I could possibly might give you if you want to go to a sad place like San Francisco or something. And then last point, Keith, on the Nets' future. First of all, it's looking pretty good right now. Those Suns are the top 10 worst team in the NBA. Mm. You know, they might trade Beal. Durant's 36. You know, Grayson Allen, he, like, hid from, like, doing anything too much. That's just a quick update on that. Keith, thanks for taking my call. Have a great night.
Yeah, I'm not there yet with the Nets, but good, sure. I don't think Pete Alonso's going to get a $200 million contract. He'll be lucky to break $100 million, and I think he could do that with the Mets. Let's take a break here. I'm running out of time. I got like 8 minutes left. Keith McPherson on The Fan, BRB.
Your official station to talk Giants. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Another 5 hour KM to AM in the books. My last 5 minutes here, man. Shout out to everybody. You guys make the show. The calls have been hilarious tonight. All different topics. You guys calling in and expressing how you feel and, you know, even asking questions and asking for my opinion. It just makes the time fly by. It's a 5 hour sprint. And I've got another call to take. And C-Mac will take you through his five-hour show. Is it the five-hour midnight ride? Yes, the Midnight Rider. What's the song? I think the song that C-Mac uses, I had never heard before. And then I heard it in a Crown Royal commercial. Not gonna let him catch the Midnight Rider. I'm like, Chris McMahon. I'm like, I know that song. Crown Royal is only using that because they heard C-Mac on The Fan. Maybe somebody did. You never know. A lot of people listen to The Fan. I don't think you guys realize. Like, you guys might listen to The Fan just in your car or at work or on the Odyssey app or whatever. Some influential people be tuned in. I'd be surprised myself. Honestly, I'm like, wow, I'm flattered. I had no idea. Anyway, 888-808-1019. If you call now, you'll probably be on with Chris McMonagle. But my guy Jonathan in Los Angeles, I got you, homie.
Yo, what's good, my guy Keith? Hey, bro, I was telling the guy that answers, I never get his name, but he's a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, don't worry. Nobody really knows his name anyway.
Is he a Mets fan, though?
He's a Mets fan. He's a Jets fan. Man. He's a Rangers cool fan. Guy, he's down tremendous.
Hey, bro, yeah, I was just telling him. Fan. Hey, bro, he's just like me, bro. I'm a Yankees fan, a Lakers fan, and an Atlanta Falcons fan.
America. You can root for whoever you want across the United States of America. It's easier than ever.
As long as we're not frauds, bro, that we're switching teams, we should be fine. We're grown men, bro. But yeah. I was just telling him, bro, if I could just describe the image that I'm looking at right now, bro. I was on the freeway right now, and you should see the mountains, Keith. It looks crazy down here, bro. The
in LA?
Mountains are like burning up. Yeah, man. They look crazy, man. But
oh,
I
wow.
just want to, people from LA, if they're listening to the show, just want to tell them stay safe. Other than that, Key, aside from infielder, who do you think the Yankees might go? Like, you think they might get another bullpen arm? And if they do, who you think they're going to go for? So I can keep my eye on that. And hopefully we do get Sasaki. And one last question, bro. I know I was really disappointed, but what do you think about Penix? I mean, I know we lost back-to-back games. But what do you think, bro? You think we got a good future down
hell
in Atlanta?
Yeah. Hell yeah. I drafted Drake London in fantasy this year. Ooh. I cannot wait to draft him again next year with Michael Penix Jr. There's a clip going around after the game that he just had with the two touchdowns. I think he had like $170. And yeah. Penix said something to him like, "It's coming, bro. This is gonna be the norm with those guys. He's gonna be a number one receiver, and Penix and him have a whole off season to really work on their timing."
I'm telling you, Keith, let's join teams, bro. Come on, man. I got your little rise
what
up.
You mean?
Forget those Cowboys, bro.
You want me to be a Falcons fan? Yeah. I do love it down there. I do love the stadium. It's affordable. The vibe down there, that little turf area where they have the tailgate, like. Everybody walks to the game, and like the scene of everybody walking away from the game into the city of Atlanta is great.
You like the Battery over there? I don't know. It's outside of the baseball stadium.
Oh, of course. I've been to multiple Braves games. I was just there in August. I was at the PBR. That bar is ridiculous.
Yeah.
The shenanigans going on.
It was good talking to you, my guy. Have a great one, bro. Thank you.
Of course. The shenanigans going on at the Battery in Atlanta where the Braves play. There's so many people out there. They don't care about the Braves. They don't care about the game. They're just outside. Like, there's an outside DJ before you even get into the club. A long line to get in the club. I was mad. You don't have to pay a cover to get in Billy's. They charge us $10 to get into the club outside the Braves ballpark. I'm like, what the hell is this? I guess a cover to try to deter people. There was still 1,000 people in that bar. It was like all wood, and they had a mechanical bull. I was so tired because I flew in that day, and by that time, we were all faded. I was like, this place is crazy. Paulie just spiked the back music on me. Look, shut up. Get out of here. Making fun of my fandom. Acting like people don't know my name is Vincent Von Vincent. Whole lot of Rosie. Paul's randomness. The glue guy, the wizard. Paul Rosenberg on the Fan. All right. C-Max coming up next. I'm out of here. I'll be back tomorrow. I don't know what time, man. Not 7, though. Like, after the Rutgers game or the Nets, probably something like that. I'll be back. Be back. It won't be long. By the time I go to sleep and wake up, and nothing really happens, I'll be back over here. So, everybody be good. Thanks for listening to the show. C-Max coming up next. I'm out of here. Good night.
Sports Radio 101.